was up to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. A friend of mine, he posted a thing today that was really interesting. He said, why don't you all just quit arguing about all these little things, arguing about whether the earth is round, flat, baptism, non-baptism, what you're supposed to eat, and why don't you go tell somebody about Jesus? And I thought, you know, that's the most sensible thing anybody said for a long time. But you know how the churches and just people in general, they get tied up on what we call non-essential scruples. They're just stupid little things that they get hung up on, and they'll sit there and fight for days and days. And they don't understand that that's just Satan that's got them chasing a rabbit hole. And they forgot about the main thing. The one thing Jesus said to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They forgot that. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eat despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yeah, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For wherever we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, we therefore, or die, we live, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why does you judge thy brother, and why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. So then every one of us shall give account to himself of God. So verse 1 right there tells us in this thing, the very first thing he says is to fellowship each other in spite of personal differences. It's hard in the flesh, but it's not really hard. How hard is it to go talk to somebody of another denomination? Not. But I've seen communities where one church wouldn't walk across the street to talk to another church. I've noticed even some in town won't go to any church activities of another church. See what that is? That's a division in the body of Christ. That they're standing for a denomination. They're not standing for the body of Christ. They're letting some little difference block them from having fellowship with one another. That should not be. That's the first thing we should do, is understand these guys still believe that Jesus is Lord. Isn't that the number one thing? So it's okay to cross denominational lines and visit with other people. In verse 3, it says, do not despise each other. Do not despise each other. well, these guys, they don't do things the way we do. So what? Don't hate them for it. Don't despise them for it. Just find a way to live in peace with one another. There's a group of people running around that if you don't agree with what they say, you're just a complete idiot. You're not even really a believer. I mean, these guys, these flat earth people have went bonkers. They're absolutely convinced you're not hardly, you're not even fit for the kingdom if you don't believe the earth is flat. And it's like, what does that even matter? What matters is Jesus. That's the one thing that matters. But everybody seems to get chasing off onto these different little ideas and go crazy in their thinking. And then everybody that doesn't agree with them are just idiots. But there's whole denominations that way. You didn't get baptized the right way. You know, my friend got baptized 7 times one summer. He was a custodian at this church camp, at this camp. And these churches would go there, have summer camp. The first one come by and they were down in the pond baptizing people. And he went down there and asked them what they were doing. They told him he got baptized. So the next church come in there. And he went down there and said, what are you doing? And they told him. And he said, I did that last weekend. And they said, really? How'd you do it? And he told them, oh, you didn't do it right. So he got baptized 7 times that summer. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But he was getting really close to dying, and I went to talk to him, to witness to him. And I said, you need to get born again. And he said, how many times do I got to do that? And I stopped and I said, why, what are you talking about? And he told me his story. See how stupid things can get? This guy gave up on the whole notion. Because it didn't matter where he turned, he wasn't right on anything. So he just figured, well, I'll just wait until I'm about 1 or 2 breaths away and I'm going to say, Jesus, save me. Verses 3 through 13 talks a lot about not judging each other. Not judging one another. You know, you may have a revelation in the Word of God about something that you earnestly believe in. And that's great. And say you want to share this with somebody else. If they leave an open door, then share what you've learned. If they don't berate them and tell them how wrong they are. You know, I've never seen anybody respond favorably to telling them how their belief system is all wrong. The only time I've ever seen anybody respond favorably is when I showed them the love of God somehow, prayed for them, or did something nice for them, or they asked me a question and I told them out of a loving spirit what I had learned. That's the only way I've ever seen anybody come around. But I've never seen anybody change by preaching the law to them. Not ever. Verse 4 tells us to recognize that each man is God's servant and personally responsible to God for what he allows himself to do aside from what is forbidden. When we understand that if they're born again, they belong to God and nobody else. And I suppose there's going to be a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of preachers that are going to have a reckoning to deal with, because at some point, God's going to ask them, said, why did you spend 30 years behind the pulpit and not give anybody a chance to get born again? There's whole denominations. There's whole great big churches where people will go to church every day, every Sunday. Every time the door swung open, they'd be in there. But the gospel of salvation was not allowed to be preached in them churches. And actually, if you talk about being born again to some of them people, they would get their feelings hurt really, really bad. So you see how the traditions of men have messed things up really, really bad. Compare verse 4 to 1 John 1, 7. 1 John 1, 7 says, if we confess our sins before God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? That's what happens. When you get born again, you basically did that. You admitted that you was a sinner and that you needed a Savior, and Jesus was the only one that could do that. We need to recognize that no man will fall who consciously follows God and the light that he has received. Not everybody's going to have the same revelation as you. You know, one, I told people a lot of times to order the book by Bill Hamm called The Day of the Saints. That talks about all these different dispensations, how these different denominations came about being, how they started off in the Dark Ages in the Catholic Church, and then they found out that you needed to be born again, that you were righteous by faith and justified by the grace by the blood of Jesus. And then they stepped out of that church, and then somebody found out that they needed to be water baptized. So then those guys stepped forward, and then somebody found out that you needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was actual wars over some of this stuff. You know, you could get in a lot of trouble if you was found to be a Protestant. They used to not like Protestants. Why? Because they stepped away from the stronghold of religion. They found a new thing. They found out that they needed to be born again. Here's the thing. Just because you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you need to look down on the people that haven't. There's a whole bunch of people that have been taught that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is completely taboo. In fact, they're not even allowed to talk about it in their denomination, in their churches. They're not allowed to even talk about speaking in tongues. So they don't know. They've been falsely taught. But we shouldn't berate them. We should encourage them, and at some point, maybe, they'll receive that. But understand this, that once they're born again, they belong to God. You know, that's the one and only thing that is required to get to heaven, is to be born again. So if you're in a room full of people that are born again, then praise God. You're all going to heaven. Why can't we agree on that? But all too many times, people will get these little arguing points on how you're not right because you don't do this, and you're not right because you do that. And pretty soon, they just are bickering back and forth, and then they can't agree on the really important stuff. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. What happened? These guys got born again. They got saved by grace. And then somebody come in there and they said, you need to do this and you need to do this. So they picked up the law in order to earn their righteousness. Galatians is the only place where you can find Paul really being hard on a church, because they decided that they were going to try to mix grace with works, which never is acceptable before God. You're saved by grace. People are big on running around getting people born again and saying you're saved by grace. So then people come in, they try to figure out what they can do to learn more about God. And then they'll say, okay, here's these 10 things that you need to do, or these 5 things that you need to do. I had a guy one time tell me, he said, I don't see how you can possibly be born again. I said, why? And he said, well, because you're not a member of the volunteer fire department and you're not a Mason. I thought, they even sent Masons to my house to invite me to be a Mason. And I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, isn't that an evil organization? He got mad instantly. Man, he said, we do all these good things. And I said, well, the Hell's Angels bought new Boy Scout uniforms for the Boy Scouts during the Circus Bike Rally. Are you going to tell me they're good? Look, there's one thing. Be born again. The Bible tells us to believe on Jesus. To believe on Him. Don't get mixed up on this. But we need to make sure that we don't judge anybody as to the Sabbath they keep. There's some people that are completely fanatic about keeping the Sabbath in this town. Have you ran into any of these people? There's some Sabbath keepers here. And boy, you better do it on Saturday, huh? I mean, they're rabid about it. Jesus is your Sabbath. And they say, you can't. You got to go to church on Saturday. And he said, well, I used to go to church on Saturday. Saturday night. Every Saturday night I went to church. They call it Saturday Night Life. And then we had Bible study on Tuesday. You know, there is such a nonsense attitude that you have to go to church on Sunday morning and Bible study on Wednesday night. Who thought that up? Man did. And then they locked it down as some kind of a rule. You can't have church on Saturday night. Yeah, you can. You can have a really good church service on Saturday night. Glenn Smith used to have church service on Monday night. It was a rocking good time. Unless the Dallas Cowboys were playing. And then there would be these Texans, you know, they weren't going to miss a Cowboys game. But look, on Saturday or Sunday, does it really matter if he goes to Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesday? We're not supposed to judge anybody about allowable eats and drinks. That sheet came down over Peter, and God made all things clean. All things clean. And besides that, before you got born again, you was a Gentile. So it was never against the law for you to eat pork. I had some Word of Faith people one time get just really scowl at me one time because we went to a restaurant and they had catfish, a really nice slab of catfish with crawfish etouffee on it. And they said, "You're eating crawdads and catfish?" I said, "Yeah, I love them." They said, "They're bottom feeders. You're not supposed to eat those." I said, "Why?" And I said, "They're unclean." And I said, "I'm going to eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path." So they said, "You should eat a clean fish, like a tilapia." And I said, "Well, I've never ate a tilapia before, but I like catfish." So one day I was watching TV and they had Dirty Jobs on there. This guy said he was going to a tilapia farm. I thought, well, how dirty can that be? It was a sewage treatment plant, and they used the tilapia to eat the solids. And we were driving down the road one day, and this guy that had been hacking on me about eating pork and catfish, we seen that treatment plant up there, and I said, "Look." He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's how they grow tilapia." He just turned green in the gills. Look, we're not supposed to judge people on what they eat. There's cultural foods that people have never eaten. They won't even try them because they got stuff in them that they don't think they'll like. I know a lot of Christians in this community that won't touch menudo. Because it's made out of stuff that they don't think is right to eat. I'm the same way. I grew up in Wyoming, and anybody would talk about eating a goat, we say, "Man, them guys are desperate." "We ain't eating a goat. We ain't even gonna touch a goat. We ain't gonna touch one of those nasty things." Why? We didn't know. We'd eat every antelope that crossed our path. Then when I got down here and ate a goat, I thought, "Man, this is 10 times better than any antelope I ever ate." But just because somebody eats one kind of food and you don't, does that make them wrong or bad somehow? No. No. We're not supposed to be judging them anyway. Look at verses 8 and 9 in Romans chapter 14. Verses 8 and 9. "If whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be both Lord both of the dead and the living." Basically, we're supposed to let everybody live in peace. Live in peace for the Lord and for each other. Just leave people alone. You know, I ran into several homosexuals and they always kind of stand off a little bit and say, look, you're an American. You have freedom. I don't agree with what you do, but it's really none of my business. It's just not. But there's whole factions of religious people that make it their hobby to persecute them. Just because you don't agree with somebody doesn't mean that you have to hate them. Tell me an instance where hate has ever changed somebody for the Lord. I can't think of any. Do not set each other at naught. There's a big thing about trying to... One time I seen a lady, she was looking for a church. She was on Facebook and she was looking for a church, and all these people jumped in there and said, no, you don't want a denominational church, and you don't want this, you don't want that, and that they were doing, they were trying to set people at naught. I just stayed out of the conversation, you know, but I thought, you know, I told the lady, I said, probably the best thing you could do is visit each church, and God will let you know which one you need to be. Ask Him where you need to go. He'll let you know where to go. I had made some people really mad at me one time. You know, this little guy I ran into, we had a little deliverance session. He'd been just drinking and drugging wild, and nobody could do anything with him. And I prayed for him. He got born again. Anyway, he come up to me. I invited him to the church where I went to. He went. And anyway, when the dust finally settled, he found a Pentecostal church that he really liked. And he told me, he said, I can be in there 5 days a week. I said, that's cool. You just knock yourself out. Did you got to do it? And some people where I went to church said, why didn't you tell him to go to the cowboy church? And I said, well, it's none of my business. I did my job. Now it's the Holy Ghost business. You know, that guy went forward and lived a fantastic life. Really, really did some outstanding things. Never drank again. We don't have all the answers. We just need to do what Jesus told us to do. We need to make sure that we do not cause anyone to stumble. We don't want to be the one that causes somebody to stumble. You know, if somebody's weak in the faith and they're not sure that they need to be around certain things, then we shouldn't be running around doing those certain things with them. You know, if they want to stay away from that, then we need to stay away from that. We need to recognize that there is no animal that is classed as unclean for food in the New Testament. You know, America is the land of the free. They call it the land of the free. And this country spends more time trying to take people's freedoms away from them around the world than anything I can think of. They jump up, they say, you should not eat a horse. Well, who said you should not eat a horse? There's countries that thrive on horse meat, or did until America got their hands in on it. There's people that say you should never ever eat pigs. Pigs are good food. Here's the thing. Just because we do things a certain way doesn't mean somebody across the street that does it a different way, it doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're different. Now, if they're not born again, they need to get that way. Don't ever be mistook about that. If they're not born again, they need to get that way fast. Live at peace wherever possible. And here's a big challenge now. It's going to get harder and harder to do that. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of Satanist communists that are trying to take over the world. And I'm not saying to live at peace with that. That's not something that we need to be involved with, and that's not something that we need to allow to happen. And we need to stand up to that all the time. Because that's not a non-essential scruple. That's not a little thing. A non-essential scruple is for you to hate somebody in the place they go to church at because they sprinkle, they don't dip, then maybe they pour, they don't dunk, maybe they don't speak in tongues. You see how silly that is? All you're doing is agreeing with the devil and agreeing with the division. Stand firm in your beliefs. By all means, stand firm in your beliefs. But guess what? There's people in the Catholic Church that are born again. I had a charismatic Catholic that worked for me. And he would tell me that there would be times where he'd be praying his rosary and he'd just start praying in tongues. Well, it didn't make sense to me, but you're not going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit without being born again. So we had something we could agree on. Not everything, but we had more in common than what we thought. We need to demonstrate love by giving up those things that destroy others. We need to make sure that we're not causing people to fall into harm. You know, they're just things that are not healthy for people to do, and it causes other people harm. We need to make sure we're not partaking in that. We need to follow the things that make peace and edify others instead of making a hobby of meats and drinks and Sabbaths and law-keeping and rituals, and dress style, ornaments and customs, outward religion. Literally, things which in themselves do not destroy the work of God. And concerning which all men will never perfectly agree. You know, I ran into people that were afraid to go to church because they didn't have nice enough clothes. And I understood that because I'd been there before. I showed up at a church, I didn't have very nice clothes, and I got ran off. So later on, I equated righteousness with the way you dressed. And that's not right. The church needs to be approachable. I don't care one way or another if somebody wears a dress or a suit, or even if they show up in their work clothes. Neither does God. He doesn't care what you look like when you get there. He just cares that you get there. That's the biggest thing. God is more interested in you getting there than how you look when you get there. It's important for us to be approachable. We need to make sure that we don't use any of the non-essentials to cause somebody to stumble, offend, or make any man weak, either by argument or by practice. If somebody's excited about God, they got born again, they're excited about going to church, and they're really locked on, don't tell them they didn't get baptized right. Don't tell them they didn't do this right. If they show an opportune time to minister to them, then that would be the time. If they start asking questions, that would be a good time. But you're going to learn one way or another that religion is the strongest narcotic known to mankind. It'll lock their brain down to such a point where you can see them sliding downhill on the way to hell, and they'll be shouting hallelujah while they're going. They'll be convinced that they're right. There's I don't know how many times I've went to minister to people that I knew needed to get born again, and they got mad. They say, I have my beliefs. I say, well, praise God, you still need to get born again. Because it doesn't really matter what you believe, if you're not born again, it still ends in hell. I like that account that Kenneth Hagin gave when he went to hell. He died and he was on his way down, and he got to the gates of hell, and he on the way down he was saying, I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized. I've done all these things. And he got to the gate of hell and he got sucked back up into his body, and he died again, and he was going back down. And he's telling God, said, I'm going the wrong way. I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized in water. And then he got back in his body again, and he decided he better do something different. And he prayed the prayer of salvation. He gave his life to Jesus, and he never... had that happen again. He lived plumb into his 80s. Young people had a hard time keeping up with him. He had incurable heart disease when he was born. He was born premature, and the doctor gave his grandmother a little bit of formula and said, take him out to the garden, bury him. He's dead. But she seen him breathe a little bit. So she brought him back. He gave her a little bit of formula, said that formula will last longer than him. But he lived, and God brought him through that. And he lived plumb into his 80s, strong and healthy. But he let a lot of stuff go. He concentrated on the very most important thing. He concentrated on Jesus. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything you do for us every day. Father, we thank you that as we go into this community around us, that the Holy Spirit will be there to show us who we can minister to, and show us ways to agree with people that we can't agree with and live in peace. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.